Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the baggy bird to my boiler man. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Justin Peach, just like that. Another season is over here in the Championship. Only feels like yesterday that it started, and it's over too soon, I say, because what a season it has been. But let's not waste any time, because we've got a lot to get through. Welcome to the number one Championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, the final day has been and gone, and now we know who's going up and who's going down. Congratulations to Ipswich Town and commiserations to Birmingham City. We'll talk about Ipswich and the rest of the promotion race very shortly. We'll discuss Birmingham, where it went wrong, how we think they'll do next season, and the rest of the relegation battle in the second half of the show, before finishing off with the polls and Simon Grayson's Hateful Eight. But even though the season is over, ladies and gentlemen, we still have so much to decide just around the corner. That's right, it's awards season, baby. The Second Tier Awards will be released this coming week. Justin is getting his tux on. He's slapping Chris Rock. How excited are you, Peachy?
Yeah, buzzing. Slapping Chris Rock, that took me by surprise. I do not assault anyone in the lead up to any award season, because that is not how I roll. It's exciting. This is how award season should be done. Like, no handing out awards 3 or 4 games before the season's finished. We do it when the season's finished, immediately after the season's finished, before we can go straight into the playoffs. That's how it should be done, and we're doing it. We're doing it right. Look forward to it.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It actually annoys me when they do these awards when the season is still going on, because I don't want to throw any shade at anyone, but you could nominate a manager for manager of the season who hasn't actually achieved anything in the grand scheme of things, but we'll leave that there. But here's how it's going for the coming week. We'll be revealing our second tier team of the season on Wednesday. Then we'll be revealing the awards like player of the season, young player of the season, permanent signing of the season, loan signing of the season, goal of the season, and of course, manager of the season. Then after that, we'll be having a look ahead to the playoffs. So the season might be over, but we're just getting started here at the Second Tier, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you join us for the ride. So let's kick things off with the final day. And Ipswich Town have been promoted to the Premier League. It's after they beat Huddersfield Town 2-0. They just needed a point to secure their place in the top flight, and they duly delivered. Justin will, of course, talk about the marvellous achievement very shortly, but the game itself, pretty much a walk in the park, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was quite interesting, because they were missing quite a few chances at Twitch, but just before Wes Burns scored in the half-hour mark. So you were thinking, maybe, just maybe, it might not be happening. Maybe destiny has run out at that point, because there were so many chances that went begging. But as soon as Wes Burns did put that put the ball in the back of the net on the half-hour mark, it was a simple game. Really, really simple game. And it was almost a stroll, because... yeah, it's just there was a party atmosphere. Obviously, the results from the Leeds Southampton game were coming through, and the fans were just buzzing, and the players enjoyed themselves as well. Huddersfield didn't put much of a fight, but there's probably reasons behind that that we can talk about later on. But yeah, this was as simple a game as you get for a team. It shouldn't have been this easy. It just shouldn't have been this easy, but it was. And I think every Ipswich Town fan will thank Southampton for making it as easy as it did, and Huddersfield.
Yeah. Well, before the game, it was highly unlikely that Ipswich weren't going to get promoted. But I will disagree with you, Justin. When I was watching this, even before the first goal, it became very apparent to me that Huddersfield weren't pulling off any shocks, because they barely got out their own half. It was just wave after wave of Ipswich attack. And I don't know what Huddersfield were trying to do, but it didn't look like they were trying to win, that's for sure. And considering Huddersfield needed to win to give Leeds any sort of chance of getting anything, it just never looked like happening. I also enjoyed the Ipswich fans celebrating Southampton's goals as they went in. Just good entertainment all round. And then the celebrations afterwards, champagne sprayed everywhere, the pitch invasion, the players paraded on the shoulders of the supporters around Portman Road. A great moment. And it's going to be something Ipswich fans remember forever. And here we are. They've done it. The Ipswich are going up Tractor. Has reached its destination. It's been tanking along all season with me driving the fucker, and it's had a few bumps along the way, but it's arrived in the Premier League. The first team in 12 years to secure back-to-back promotions to the top flight. Justin, where does this rank amongst these greatest achievements in Championship history?
Yeah, I mean, looking back at Norwich and Southampton doing the same thing in years gone by, having similar circumstances, don't want to diminish your efforts, but you have to say it's very high on the list. I think for them to be able to compete, I mean, when you compare it to sort of Southampton, Norwich, they didn't have to compete with the financial power of Leicester, Leeds and Southampton of this year. So I think in terms of comparing it to those teams and comparing it to those, yes, it is a huge, huge achievement. They were 11th in League One in the 21-22 season when Kieran McKenna took over sort of halfway through from Paul Cook. It was a real mishmash of recruitment that summer, if I remember rightly. It was something ridiculous. Over 20 signings came in. It was quite an incredible recruitment drive from the new owners in Mark Ashton. But now they're in the Premier League. They're in the Premier League versus the same squad that got them out of League One last season. And it's nothing short of remarkable. And they weren't a defensive unit either. They went for it. They were an attacking outfit. They were the definition of attack, no control. And that's why I think their achievement is all the better, because to be able to sustain that level of not giving up and drive and, yeah, attacking, just attacking, it's a very difficult thing to do. The harder thing to do than to shut up shop and defend. So for them to do it the way they did, yeah, it's a huge, huge, monumental, massive achievement.
Yeah, I'm following on from what you were saying, Justin. You mentioned how they were 11th in League One when Kieran McKenna took over. Mm-hmm. The years prior to that, there haven't been any signs, really, that Ipswich were going in the right direction again. And then Kieran McKenna has certainly taken them in the right direction, I think it's fair to say. For me, it's the single greatest achievement by a manager in Championship history. Back-to-back promotions in itself is one of the most impressive things you can possibly do at this level. To do it when you're competing against three sides who have some of the biggest budgets and strongest squads in Championship history means it surpasses any other achievement we've seen, as far as I'm concerned. And you're right, the astonishing thing is they've got these two promotions with, by and large, the same squad. Eight of the players who started for Ipswich against Huddersfield also started the final home game of last season. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it shows that they haven't gone out there and simply thrown money at things. The combined transfer fees of this squad is less than 10 million. And any players who they have brought in have been very carefully identified as players who can improve things, fit into the system, but also fit into the dressing room. That's a very important thing, which a lot of clubs don't seem to get right, even though it's one of the things that you would have thought they should get right. But by and large, what they've done is put faith in Kieran McKenna. He's taken every player's game to a new level. So they didn't need to go out there and buy the world. You can go through just about every player in this squad and their game has gone up several levels. And that's the overarching reason why they've been promoted. He's made everyone play to the best of their ability. And look, I've been ridiculed for my Kieran McKenna love-ins this season, but now I think it's been justified with the most remarkable of promotions. And the best bit about this promotion is they've done it with swagger. Because, as you're alluding to, Justin, they play the best football in the league by a country mile. And it's been a complete and utter joy covering them this season. Are you the same, Justin?
It has. I know people go, well, you've been sceptical. And I think I just have very high standards for teams finishing top two. And, you know, my doubts really did arise from their defensive capabilities, which simply weren't as good and consistent as other teams I've seen go up. So this is why their achievement is all the better from my point of view, because for them to make as many defensive mistakes as they do and still go up is ridiculous. But that is just because of how relentless they are going forwards. And that's why Kieran McKenna deserves a hell of a lot of credit, because he could have shit the bed. He could have really, really stripped things back and simplified it, but he didn't. They carried on playing the way they did. And it got a huge amount of results. And again, you go back to sort of the January period where they did have a stumble, where they did struggle. They weren't losing games. They were dropping points and drawing games, which is obviously frustrating. But they didn't have a striker. They brought in Kiefer Moore, big old Keith, my boy Keith, and he delivers promotion for them. And it just goes to show how important a good January transfer window is as well for propping teams up. So for me, they are a benchmark team. They are a benchmark team to, you know, if Ipswich can do it, if Luton can do it, if Brentford can do it, then any team can do it. It is really, I wouldn't say it's that simple, but it's about getting the balance right.
Yeah.
It's about getting the balance right.
I know
right.
What you mean, Justin. It's simple, but it's a lot easier said than done. A lot of hard work goes on behind the scenes at these clubs, and they make it look easy, even though it is a very hard thing to do, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, I just need to take this opportunity to get on my high horse. Yep, there we go. Okay, I'm on. Our league table predictions. I predicted Ipswich to finish second in the league. My dear colleague here had them in the top six, but I said, no, we're going for it. I want them in the top two. And it got a fair bit of backlash. 1,000 replies, 700 quote tweets reacting to our league table predictions, most of which were focusing on that prediction in particular of Ipswich to finish second in the league. Loads of people calling us clueless. We don't know what we're talking about, etc. Well, sounds like we actually do. However, I've got to say, no one was more critical of me opting to have Ipswich second in the table than one Justin Peach.
Oh, fuck
and
off.
All season, all I've been hearing every Thursday, Friday and Sunday is that I'm mad. Ipswich won't get into the top two. It's so rare for a team to get back-to-back promotions. They won't get promoted because they can see too many goals. I'm blinded by my obsession with Kieran McKenna. Ipswich are bottling it, etc., etc. Justin, you're a great friend of mine, but I'm afraid I'm going to give you a massive, massive serving of humble pie here, dear boy.
Listen. You can say you can go off on one and say whatever you want. That's absolutely fine. I am going to take my humble pie because I was sceptical of the amount of goals Ipswich were conceding. They conceded 57 compared to Leicester at 41 and Leeds at 43. It's a lot of goals. They also scored 92, which is the highest in division. So goals win games, right? They win games, and that's what it's down to. But I tell you what doesn't win friends is this attitude of yours, Ryan.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
And also, Leeds bottled it, all right? I can't legislate for teams losing their arses. That's not my doing.
You might be doing a bit of a disservice there to Ipswich, because they have finished second ahead of a side who, you know, have got the biggest points tally ever for a side not to get automatically promoted, which just makes the achievement all the more impressive, by the way. Also worth saying, they only finished 1 point behind Leicester, which is incredible, isn't it? But Justin, are you willing to sit here right now and admit I was right?
The thing is, you're saying this because you know it pisses me off when you do this.
Are you willing to admit it?
And what were you right about?
Ipswich finishing second.
Such a dick. I'm not going to admit anything. I'm not going to admit anything.
Oh, come on. Just give me this, please. I need this.
Listen, you keep saying how you're the championship experts. So why don't you just take that tonic with you, sip it, enjoy it, and just...
Because I want the ultimate tonic of all. This is heroin to me. Tell me I was right.
You were right about Ipswich, yeah.
Yes! Say it one more time, please.
No. I'm not going to give you that.
One final question, Justin, before we get off this massive Ryan being a dick fest. Do you not regret getting on the Ipswich and going up tractor when you had the chance? Because I gave you plenty of opportunities in the first 10 games of the season.
No, I don't regret it because I think I was well versed in backing Leeds. And actually, I think Leeds' slow start and for them to hit 90 points is still all the more remarkable. I know they really tailed off at the end of the season, but they were 17 points, large amount of points behind Leicester at one point, and only finished 7 points off them. And, you know, if they didn't lose their arses, basically, they'd maybe pip Leicester to the title. I don't know. I don't regret it, basically. I don't regret it. Screw your tractor. I'm glad it's gone.
He's saying that through such gritted teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the big question now is, Justin, how will Ipswich do in the Premier League? You know, it's been a remarkable couple of years under Kieran McKenna. Do you think the magic will continue on the biggest stage of them all?
Well, the crazy thing is Norwich obviously went from League One Championship and then solidified themselves in the Premier League, didn't they, under Chris Hughton? It was a remarkable rise for them, under Paul Lambert, and then obviously Chris Hughton came in and they solidified themselves. It was a remarkable rise. And Southampton did the same thing under Nigel Adkins and then Mauricio Pochettino. Now, I'm not saying it's which, you know, Kieran McKenna's going to leave. But if you look at their achievements back when they did it, can Ipswich do the same? Absolutely they can. I think their almost naivety could benefit them, could also cost them. I think the easiest thing to say right now is they'll be more competitive than Sheffield United and Burnley. And the reason why that's going to be the case, I'm not putting Luton in that category yet, but the reason why I think they will be a lot more competitive than those two teams at the very least is Kieran McKenna is adaptable. He can tweak his team, he can adjust his team. And I think that's going to serve him well, because I always remember Daniel Farker said that teams that are defensively minded tend to fare better in the Premier League going up from the Championship than teams who just go out and attack, which is why his Norwich teams ultimately failed. And I think Kieran McKenna can tweak his team to adjust to that. I don't think there are many managers that can do that.
Yeah, well, I see absolutely no reason why they can't stay up. They'll, of course, have to recruit, but as we've been saying, their recruitment is extremely clever. They'll already have plans in place of who to target. I'm sure they've got the added financial boost now of what you get with being a Premier League side as well. And I think they'll be a very appealing option for players because of Kieran McKenna's incredible ability to take a player's game to the next level. And, you know, Amari Hutchinson's a key example of that. Look how his game has come on leaps and bounds. And even though he's such a talented young lad, he's expressed a desire to stay at Ipswich heading into next season as well, which I think says a lot. But I think McKenna is the main factor with regards to how they'll do next season, because we are talking about a young manager here who I think will go on to be an elite coach. The sky's the limit with this club as long as McKenna's in charge. And the main concern I have is whether they would be able to adapt to being a relegation fighting side, because as we've seen with Burnley this season, if you come up and play virtually the same way as you did in the Championship, it's probably not going to go too well for you. But you could say that many people would have said the same thing about Ipswich and how they were playing in League One, and they played exactly the same way in the Championship, and look how that turned out. So who knows, really? But I've got so much faith in McKenna that I'm sure he'll find a way to make it work, and I'm confident they'll stay up next season. For me, they're following the same path as the likes of Brighton, because they're a very smart club. Very smart clubs do very smart things. And if you do enough smart, very smart things, it leads to a lot of success down the line. So I think they can surprise a lot of people next season. But I'm certainly going to be interested to see who they bring in, and even more so how they approach next season tactically. A quick word on Huddersfield Town, Justin, who have been officially relegated after losing to Ipswich. They were all but down anyway, but it's now been mathematically confirmed. Their manager, Andre Brightonwriter, when asked whether he would be staying on next season, he said he needs time and information before he makes a decision. So I think it's fair to say he doesn't sound too committed.
No.
If you were a Huddersfield fan, would you be bothered if he went, Justin?
I don't know. I would let him go. I'd let him go. He needs to commit. He needs to say, yes, we'll get this club back up. And he's not. He's saying, well, you know, if everything's right for me and the club put the right things in place for me, then I will. Dude, just commit or don't commit. It seems quite simple. I know a lot of Huddersfield fans, I've seen a lot of replies to some of his interview comments, and they all want him to stay. And I'm just like, he's not done anything to convince me that he's going to bring Huddersfield back up into the Championship. So for me, I just think the Brighton writing's on the wall for him.
So subtly delivered, expertly done. Yeah, well, over the past week, he's really gone on a massive campaign to blame everyone but himself for Huddersfield's relegation. He said the behaviour he's seen from his players, he hasn't seen in 30 years. He says many players have already checked out for the club. They're not working hard enough. They're unfit. I mean, he's not completely to blame for Huddersfield going down, but his job is to manage the players. If they're not working hard enough or have checked out of the club, he's got to take a lot of the blame for that. So he seems to be really passing the buck on this. It doesn't seem like he particularly cares whether he sticks around next season or not, though. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, they should have stuck with Darren Moore, because they got rid of him and got in the BTEC Klopp. And I don't know if Darren Moore would have kept them up or not, but I think they would have definitely had more about them in the final few games of the season. I think we can say that. Yeah, we don't know how bad things were behind the scenes under Darren Moore, but it couldn't have been much worse, could it?
Well, Darren Moore, John Worthington, I think there are two names that I'd have kept. I think Darren Moore deserved an opportunity to work with the players that came in January. Didn't get that because he was literally sacked after they signed two strikers. Yeah. And then John Worthington immediately got some decent results, and it just felt like he knew the squad were playing for him. He knew what was happening, and then Brighton Wrighter sort of rode that, you know, good positive crest of a wave, if you like, of that Worthington spell, and then it all went tits literally so quickly, so quickly for him, and then he just stopped getting results. So they need a manager who's going to convince the players that they're going to play for him. And the very small sample size that we've got now is the players aren't playing for Brighton Wrighter. So why is he going to be the right man to lead the club back into Championship next season? If the players don't want to play for him now, why are they going to want to play for him in 2 months' time? It's logically, come on.
Yeah, is he the Brighton Wright man to lead the club?
Yeah, you fucked that, didn't you? Yeah.
Let's talk about the rest of the promotion race. And Leeds United were the side who could have spoiled Ipswich's party. They needed to withstand any chance on the final day, but they lost 2-1 to Southampton. Leeds have now lost more games since the start of April than they did between the start of November and the end of March. Justin, Leeds have fallen apart again.
Yeah, they fell apart after that QPR defeat, didn't they? They're pieces at the moment, which is why Southampton, once they found it easy, but it's just why Southampton went to Welling Road and won. There should have never been a 3-point game for the Saints, given their form. But I think just the state of mind that Leeds are in at the minute, after that QPR game, they are licking their wounds. They are not in a good place mentally, and I think that's a really worrying trait for Leeds going into the playoffs, because I tell you what, I don't fancy them against Norwich. It's a difficult fixture. It's Farker versus Wagner, and Wagner's got better experience in dealing with the playoffs than Farker has, because Farker has zero. Let's just throw that in there. But yeah, they truly they've done a Leeds. Leeds have done a Leeds, and it's quite remarkable really to see that drop off.
Yeah, it is. It really is. They just seem completely gone, don't they? And I know the Leeds falling apart tag has been beaten to death over the years, but this is a pretty extreme example, because the drop-off since the last international break has been absolutely astonishing. After Southampton scored their second goal, Justin, this is unbelievable. After Southampton scored their second goal, Leeds had 6 shots over the remainder of the game. That goal was scored in the 35th minute. Yeah. Southampton had 5 shots. So Leeds only just had more shots than them. And they're the team losing who need to win any chance of going up. But defensively might be where the real concerns lie for me. Because 15 goals conceded in 8 games is quite the contrast to 1 goal conceded in 13 at the start of the year. And a prime example of how poor they have been at the back is the defending for Southampton's first goal. It was embarrassing. God. There's 5 Southampton players at the back post, and Junior Firpo was the only one marking any of them. It's absolutely mental.
Arguably the worst defender on paper as well in that mix.
You're right. It's absolutely mental. But look, Leeds are now heading into the playoffs as the team out of form. They are the team out of form heading into the playoffs. How has this happened? It's absolutely mad, Justin.
I know. And as well as that, and as I say, it makes that game against Norwich really, really tasty, because tactically it's going to be up there. It's going to be up there because Wagner knows how to set his sides up for nil-nilling all the way to the Premier League. He's done it before with Huddersfield. And I think that's going to be a really difficult thing for Leeds to cope with, because what's the worst thing that Leeds can come up against is a team... It's a team sat back and letting them play in front of them, because Leeds have no idea. And they had no idea when they were in form at times as well, throughout the season. Now they're out of form and you're asking Leeds to do a lot here. It's quite an incredible feat. And as well as that, you know, Norwich have got attackers in form. It's a scary, scary fixture for Leeds. A really scary fixture. And I think it really does start to ask questions, as, you know, despite finishing third, they are the worst team going into this playoff race. It's quite remarkable. 90 points. A team that finished with 90 points are the team I feel at least likely to get to that playoff final. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the subplots in that playoff semis, yeah, all over the shop, aren't they? Daniel Farker going to Carrow Road. Daniel Farker v David Wagner. Oh, I like it. It is worth mentioning, though, you were talking about their playoff chances. Leeds' record in the playoffs reads 5 attempts, 0 promotions. Will that change this year? I mean, they are the strongest team in there. I think that's undeniable. But in terms of form, they are definitely the most out of form. So an interesting weekend for Leeds, but also because they've reportedly got a new investor who you may have heard of. The Sun say Hollywood's Will Ferrell has purchased a large stake in the club and is now apparently a Leeds United fan. So that's interesting. Here's a question for you, Justin. You know, whenever the papers are talking about an actor, they'll often refer to their most famous films. So, for example, Wolf of Wall Street star, Leonardo DiCaprio, Oppenheimer star, Cillian Murphy. What film do you reckon they went with Will Ferrell?
Step Brothers?
They went with Elf. If that's your best work of 30 years being in an overrated Christmas film, then you seriously need to up your game, Will. Let's talk about Southampton, because they were already confirmed to have a playoff place and now know they'll be facing West Brom. And this win against Leeds was exactly what the doctor ordered before the playoffs wanted, Justin.
Yeah, it's massive. And again, we can talk about form until we're blue in the face, but it really does matter. Just having some confidence going into what is a really high pressure, intense environment, which is the playoffs. It is a melting pot, and we've seen Leeds melt before, despite trailing off in previous seasons. You know, that Bielsa season, obviously we spoke about it. They dropped off in form, going for the autos, and they went into the playoffs out of form. Doesn't matter if you're a strong team or not. Form matters, and this is a shot in the arm for Southampton. Still have some questions about the mentality of the team. But it's a morale-boosting win away at ground, Elland Road, that is hard to get wins at. And that's coming up against a team that are desperate for 3 points to stay in the top two race. They stood up to the test, Southampton. And that's a big thing. And that's a big thing going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm not sure many people would have fancied them to get a result in this game, considering what Leeds had to play for. Yeah. But they did. And they were so out of form with Southampton. The fans were turning against Russell Martin. So they badly needed to restore some confidence. And that's what they've done. And look, they've become only the second team to win at Elland Road this season. And the only team to have done the league double over Leeds. That's amazing, isn't it? But it's some going, and it's great. It's a great thing to have in mind when there's every chance they'll be playing Leeds in the finals. So a potentially huge win for Southampton, even though it meant nothing in terms of the league table. Exactly what they needed just before the biggest few weeks of their season. Yeah. So the team Southampton will be facing in the playoffs is West Brom. They got only their second win in 8 games by beating Preston 3-0. The big news from this one, though, was the return of the Boilerman. Yes, that's right. The nation's favourite club mascot was back for this game after a short hiatus. There were worrying scenes when a video emerged of the Boilerman face down after he took a tumble.
Pressure got to him.
Oh. That's almost as good as the image of the Boilerman being face down on the concrete.
Honestly. Incredible.
But it was very concerning, wasn't it, Justin?
Yeah, it was. And again, you know, can you imagine how bad it would have been if West Brom had lost that game? It'd have been a season defining image for West Brom's campaign this year, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, Boilerman face down while West Brom drop into seventh. Unreal. So I'm glad everyone's all right. I'm glad Boilerman has returned, and I wish him all the best. I wish Boilerman all the best. I really
yes,
do.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully he'll be fit enough for the playoffs. But West Brom also badly needed a win here, didn't they? Similar to Southampton, just have any sort of form heading into the playoffs, and they got it in some style, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did. It was, I wouldn't say an easy game, but you're coming up against a Preston team who have been on the beach, haven't they? Yeah. Let's be honest. They are beaching
themselves. They're in Skeppy already, aren't they,
yeah,
Justin?
They're done. Well, Blackpool for them. It's a bit closer, but...
You can't go to Blackpool when you're Preston.
Surely you can.
No!
Why? I know they're rivals, but...
That's exactly why.
It's a... Bloody ball it game. Anyway, it's bloody ball it against Segnes from Preston. That's by the by. Let's talk about the football. I mean, yeah, this Preston team have been pretty awful defensively. So I think for West Brom to pick them apart, yeah, again, it's a confidence boosting win. And again, it's a team that have been out. You can almost copy and paste everything that we've been saying about Southampton, Leeds and West Brom about form and confidence, because they've all been out of form. But this was a potentially tricky fixture. A lot of pressure on it. And they got over the line, and I think that's the big thing, because I'll say it again, like I said, first, both Southampton and Leeds, you've going into the playoffs with a 3-0, comfortable 3-0 win does the world good to confidence and fan confidence as well, because that home game, first home game back in the playoffs will be, you know, there'll be a lot less pressure and attention in the air if West Brom didn't win.
Yeah, well, this was excellent from West Brom, the perfect confidence booster, because they have been in their worst run of form of the season, and they'll be hoping that's a corner turned at the right time. And I think something has got to be said about how much Preston have completely checked out of this season. This was their fifth loss in a row. Yeah. So perhaps not the most challenging of games they'll have all season from a West Brom perspective, but still a great win, exactly what they needed heading into another, well, same as what we've just been saying, the biggest few weeks of their season as well. We'll have a look ahead to the playoffs coming up this week. But Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll talk about Birmingham City's relegation, whether they can bounce back next season, and the teams who have stayed up on the final day.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast, and it's now time for us to check out how our Second Tier multiple with SBK got on, which included our game of the week, as well as Justin and I's two bankers from Friday. This was our final multiple of the season, and here's how it went. Birmingham to win, yes. Ipswich to win, yes. Leeds to win, for God's sake. Bloody Leeds have cost us so many times this season, Justin. Don't blame us. Just blame Leeds. So those have been our multiples for the season. No luck, unfortunately, but we were close on plenty of occasions. We're still Championship experts, Justin, trust me. let's go to Birmingham City, who have been relegated to League One. It's despite beating Norwich 1-0 on the final day. They needed to win here and hope results went their way. But because of the bonkers natures of the Championship, all four sides who are in danger of going down won on the final day. So it means Birmingham will be playing in the third tier for the first time in 20 years. In an open letter, the chief exec, Gary Cook, said he deeply regrets the club's relegation, adding, "Some mistakes have been made and we will learn from them and take the necessary actions to ensure they never happen again." But Justin, look, I'd ask the question, where did it all go wrong? But we all know where it went wrong, don't we?
I'm going to deviate a little bit from pointing the finger at Wayne Rooney, because it's not his fault that he was out of his depth. You know, he was out of his depth, but the man who put him in place probably should have the finger pointed at him. And I think the worst thing about that is Gary Cook is the man I'm blaming here, the CEO. He's come out and said, yes, mistakes were made this season. You made them, you massive tit. Like, you could say, where did it all go wrong? It was Wayne Rooney. No, you put that. You put Wayne Rooney in place. You put Wayne Rooney in place. You sacked John Eustace, who had you in sixth place, and you put Wayne Rooney in charge. You didn't allow the team to develop. You didn't think about personality or style of play or anything like that. You thought, now's a chance to get my mate a job. Let's chuck him in there. And that's what he did. And that, for me, is the bigger issue. And it's a bigger issue that Gary Cook is still at the club. I'd have sacked him. I'd have sacked him. I don't know how this works behind the scenes, but I'd have sacked him. So for me, that's where it went wrong. Gary Cook being placed in charge at the very, well, being placed in charge of running the club at the very start of the season. That's the problem for me. Not hiring Wayne Rooney, because Wayne Rooney could have been a success. He could have been in the right circumstances. He could have been, but he wasn't, because there's a massive melt at the top of the club.
Yeah. Well, if you're running a company and you decide to put a baby as the person who's the CEO, then you Lucky don't blame baby. The baby, do you? You blame the person who made the baby, the CEO. bit of a strange analogy, yeah. But it does make sense. And look, I completely agree with you, Justin. I think we can officially put down the Rooney appointment as the worst managerial change in Championship history, because 32 points won from 35 games since that appointment is disastrous. It's proven to be the biggest act of self-sabotage we've ever seen at this level. And people will say, well, Rooney was only there for less than 3 months, but that spell just sapped the confidence from all the players, and they could never recover, even with Tony Mowbray and Gary Rowett being put in charge. And the irony here is that they've gone down at the expense of a team managed by their former manager, who they got rid of instead of Wayne Rooney. So it's very embarrassing for the club's owners. They're very ambitious and seem to have all the right intentions, but they have to take responsibility for this, because everything stems from that one brain dead decision. And unfortunately, that's now the legacy of no fear football.
Oh my God. That's a long time ago. I feel like such a long time ago. And you are right. It's just astonishing that we got to this point. And this is why, this is why Huddersfield have gone down. They've appointed, you know, several different managers with several different styles of play. And it's cost them, because, like I said, Wayne Rooney was complaining about the team not being fit enough under John Eustace. Well, they didn't have to do as much running under John Eustace, because they were so well organised defensively. They didn't give teams too many opportunities, so you don't have to be an ultra fit team to go out and press. And it's just a bonkers period. And I think, you know, Tony Mowbray and Gary Rowett did pick up some decent results when they had their respective spells, and I think that goes to show, you know, having someone who knows what they're doing in charge is a very important thing for a football club and a team. And Wayne Rooney just wasn't. He just didn't have any idea. You know, it's just stinks of like football privilege, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, his mate gets him a job, he tries to change things, ruins it, and now the club's in League One. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they are in League One now, Justin, it still seems so weird to me, because I saw a graphic on Twitter of all the teams in League One next season, and seeing the Birmingham City badge in that group, it just didn't feel right with me. It feels like it's going to take a while for this to sink in. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it will. It will. I mean, you only got to look at who Birmingham have got in their squad. You know, it's one of the best teams to get relegated, is it not? It's astonishing, really. Christian Bielik, Ethan Laird, Jordan James, Keshi Anderson. A team like that going down is incredible. Probably one of the best squads on paper we've seen. As I said, maybe that Wolves team from 2012, 2013 is the immediate one that springs to mind. But it happens. If you don't cut your cloth accordingly, if you don't have the right people in charge of a football club, they can go down. It happened to Leicester in the 2000s. It happened to Wolves, as I just mentioned. Norwich, it can happen. So get your shit together. Otherwise, you'll pay for it. Simple.
Yeah,
simple.
Well, you've said this a lot recently, but it bears repeating. Birmingham City have been an absolute basket case of a club for years, flirting with the relegation zone for the last 8 years. And then they actually get a set of owners who seem like they know what they're doing, bar the Rooney debacle, and they go down. That's just football, isn't it? So the question is, how will they do in League One next season? Obviously, an awful lot can happen between now and August, but I mean, we don't even know who's managing them for a start, which is a key thing. But what are your early instincts with Justin, with Birmingham in League One?
Look, you will automatically assume with the squad they've got, promotion will happen at a canter. But I do have concerns. I think, firstly, Christian Bielik and Lee Buchanan turned their back on Derby when they were relegated to League One. So their reaction will be interesting. Will Birmingham keep hold of George Hall and Jordan James, breakout players this season? Big assets. They might have to sell them to try and reduce the losses, because it is a significant financial loss going from the Championship to League One because of the TV money is just not there. And also, you've got a very competitive League One next season. It's going to be an ugly League One, but it's going to be competitive. Charlton under Nathan Jones is going to be interesting. Rotherham under Steve Evans is going to be very, very interesting. They bounce back quickly, don't they? We know that. One of Peterborough and Bolton are going to be in the League One next season, and they are two incredible footballing teams who, for my money, will be favourites next season. Lincoln are on the rise under Michael Scabala as well. It's a competitive League One, so it's approach with caution. I'll say they're favourites, but I'm not overly confident, if I'm being honest.
Interesting, because I think I would very much disagree with you, Justin. This is a big shout for me, but it's been a long time since I've been more confident about a club bouncing back at the first time of asking than I am with Birmingham. I mean, first and foremost, as you were alluding to just a second ago, Justin, this is one of the strongest squads we've ever seen get relegated from the Championship. You have mentioned some of the clubs there, but I think I would definitely put Birmingham in that category. I mean, there's a reason why we had them ninth in our league table That's predictions, true. Which obviously looks bad now, but it genuinely is a squad capable of pushing for the playoffs. I think it says a lot that they've become only the sixth side in Championship history to be relegated with 50 points or more. That's another sign of how good this squad can be when it is good. But the other thing is, these owners are very ambitious. I've seen reports recently saying that if they did stay up, they were going to go for it next season. You know, really go for it. So they won't be messing around in League One. They'll be convincing big players to stay and spending money to bring new ones in. And I'm sure there will be players heading out the door, the likes of Jordan James, Christian Bielik, you know, Lee Buchanan, maybe players like that who might be looking at their contracts and be thinking, well, I should be playing in the Championship, really. But maybe clubs won't be coming in for them. Or maybe Birmingham will just try and convince them to stay. I don't know. But I don't know who the manager's going to be. I think that is going to be a big thing. I would assume it's going to be Tony Mowbray, who shouldn't be managing in League One, but might be. And if that is the case, that's a huge boost. And look, I've also mentioned it a lot recently, how poor the standard of League One is. I don't think Huddersfield or Rotherham will particularly improve it. Some of the sides you mentioned there, Justin, I mean, they're not on the same level of Birmingham if everything does go to plan over the summer. So right now, I'd say Birmingham will get promoted straight away, and I'm pretty confident in saying that, I think.
Okay. No, I think I'm not looking at resources, because I think getting out of League One is all about mentality. I honestly think it's all about mentality. Obviously, resource really does help, and it is a difference maker. But if you don't have the right personality at your club, you've got no chance.
I will tell you, Tony Mowbray, the right personality.
I was going to say, if I would feel a lot more confident if one of Tony Mowbray or Gary Rower in charge of the club next season in League One, because I think Tony Mowbray's got experience. He got Blackburn promoted, didn't he? So he's got experience of doing that, and he's the right personality. And I would back him to bring in the right personalities as well. Probably bring in Bradley Dack, to be honest, wouldn't he? But I'll back him to get the right people in charge. So I think once the managerial situation is sorted, I'll be a lot more confident. But looking at it right now, very fresh, I can't fully confidently say Birmingham will bounce straight back up, because we've seen teams go down with big budgets, good squads, and struggle. So that's the only word of caution I'll throw in there.
I disagree. I do disagree, Justin. I will admit, I've been looking at it, and this season is now the second League One season in a row where we've not seen a relegated side bounce back at the first time of asking, which is an obvious cause for concern. But I think that's more down to the quality of the sides who have gone down over the last couple of years. This Birmingham side is much stronger than them, so I'm very confident they'll be back sooner rather than later. So that's Birmingham down, but their former manager has stayed up. John Eustace's Blackburn avoided relegation after a brilliant 2-0 win away at Leicester. Justice for Eustace. And Justin, he would never admit it, because he's such a professional and all-round nice guy, but I reckon a small part of John Eustace is thinking this weekend, yeah, stick that up your house, Tom Ragnar.
Yeah, he probably is. He's probably sent him a gracious text, but he's typed it aggressively into his phone, hasn't he? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm really sorry for you, you wanker. Yeah, get that. Tom Wanker. Yeah.
God's sake, it's so childish.
I know.
That's so funny.
I know. Last day of the season. we let loose. But yeah, he's the ultimate professional, and I think congratulations to him for staying in the championship, because he does deserve it, doesn't he? He deserves to be a championship manager this season, because that Birmingham team was destined to finish in the top half, maybe have a little skirmish, flirt with the playoffs at some point this season, but ultimately he should have been a top half manager. And I think, as well as that, to turn around Blackburn the way he did, 5 defeats in 18 is quite remarkable. A lot of draws, quite a few clean sheets as well towards the end of the season. It's been a rocky end to the season, but one that has been, you know, fairly tidy, and one that I would look forward to next season under John Eustace, because I think he got that team organised after what became a bit of a shit show under John Dale Thomason.
Yeah, well, I don't think there were many doubts about John Eustace's ability as a manager, despite the Birmingham debacle. But even if there were, then he's shown with his time at Blackburn how good a manager he is. Because just 4 losses in 16, that's impressive when you look at who he's had to face. You know, he's had to face all of the top four and a lot of other sides in the top half. And you've got to also remember how poor they were under Jon Dahl Thomason towards the end. They were in serious danger of sliding into the relegation zone and disappearing without a trace. And while it did get a bit nervy towards the end of the season, it was always going to be a big shock if Blackburn actually went down. And Eustace has proven once again that he is a promising manager and a very safe pair of hands. And I think fans can look forward to them and how they'll do next season under John Eustace. Got to be said, your survival hopes are always going to be boosted when you have the division's top scorer in Sam Schmodic. He scored another two against Leicester. One of them he was celebrating before he even put it in the back of the net. He's finished the season with 27 goals, but this is a great stat that you sent me, Justin. He's the lowest placed top goal scorer in the second tier since the turn of the century. God, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And it goes to show, who knows where Blackburn would be if they didn't have his goals. And look, we could talk about him more, but we might be talking about him in the second tier awards this coming week. So we'll leave that there. Meanwhile, Leicester lifted the championship trophy after this game. They ended the season with just 6 wins from 14. What a strange way to end the season for a title winner. Do you know what it's like? It's like your team being 5-0 up at half-time, but then you win the game 5-4. It's more just relief about not ballsing it up as opposed to how good a victory it is, isn't it? Mark Albrighton, they haven't officially announced that he's leaving Leicester yet, but everything seems to be pointing to him going out the door. And look, I will admit, I've kind of forgotten that he was at Leicester this season just because he's barely featured, but Leicester legend, well and truly, isn't he, Justin?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the service he's put into the football club has been ridiculous. He's one of those unsung heroes, isn't it? Because he's a hard-working individual, and probably low-key one of the best deliveries, I think, in the Premier League in recent times, because his crossing ability is just incredible. It's remarkable. But for him to get, you know, pretty much 10 years out of Leicester, I think is an incredible feat, because he was a bit of a, I don't know, a bit part figure at Aston Villa when he left, and then he came into Leicester when they got promoted, and it was a bit of a, I wouldn't say a bit of a strange one, but, you know, filling the squad sort of thing. And then he, you know, comes in, absolutely, I wouldn't say tears it up, but he becomes so consistent and such an important player for Leicester over the next few years, and pivotal in their Premier League win, stuck by the club as well in hard times. Yeah, a remarkable man and a great service to the football club.
Yeah, he's played a lot of games during Leicester's glory years as well, didn't he? He suffered a bit with injury towards the end, but yeah, great servant. And I think he's also one of the, I think it's fair to put him in the very much underrated category as far as Premier League players go, probably one of the most underrated players in there. I think he may also be a shout for one of the best players to have never played for England as well. I think he's in that conversation considering what he's achieved. So yeah, he's been a great servant for Leicester, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes next or whether he just retires. Speaking of Leicester legends, the future of a certain Jamie Vardy has been talked about in the papers recently. There have been reports linking him with Wrexham. Imagine that, Justin. I know there have been talks now with him extending his deal at Leicester into next season, but that'll be an interesting one. Will he turn down another season in the Premier League with Leicester to get on the, what's it called? This is Wrexham, is it? Is that what it's called? Documentary?
Yeah.
Whether he'll turn down that to have a season with Ryan Reynolds. We'll have to wait and see. Sheffield Wednesday have pulled off the great escape. They secured their place in the Championship after a 2-0 win away at Sunderland. Justin, he's bloody done it. Danny Rule has kept Sheffield Wednesday up. The question is, how has he done it?
How has he done it? I don't know. I don't know.
You're
right. Incredible. It's incredible. In fact, you know, on paper, Sheffield Wednesday should have been relegated. Actually, not on paper, Sheffield Wednesday should have been relegated. And if it wasn't for the incredible work that Danny Rawls put in and the turnaround in you know, individuals as well at the football club, yeah, Sheffield Wednesday would have been relegated maybe with less points in Rotherham. I think that's the remarkable thing is how bad they were under Isco Munoz. They were hopeless, clueless, disorganised, had no idea what was going on. And they were, it got really boring covering Wednesday for that first 10 games because every single game was the same. It was dreadful. And then Danny Rule came in, instilled the hope, instilled belief, and actually put teams on the back foot. And it's just been incredible. And I think the thing that really bugs me now, right this second, is the fact that it's almost not talked about. It's quite far down in our running order, for goodness sake, as well. I think the achievement that Danny Rule has done at Wednesday, you know, it should be very, very high up in a lot of talking points. You know, it's not just someone pulling off a great escape. It's one of the greatest escapes we've seen at this level. Unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You're absolutely right, Justin. It's one of the most remarkable survival jobs I can ever remember because 3 points from their first 13 games, that's officially the worst start to a season in Championship history. They looked dead and buried before even getting going. And look, when they got rid of Isco Munoz, they could have appointed someone and it could have gone absolutely tits up. So it's quite remarkable that Sheffield Wednesday, one of the worst run clubs in the country, managed to get it absolutely spot on. But since Danny Rule was appointed, only 8 teams have won more points than Sheffield Wednesday, 6 of which are the sides who have finished in the top 6. It's a genuinely astonishing turnaround. And even if they went down, he would deserve so much credit. To actually keep them up is mind-blowing, particularly when you remember that this is his first job in management. And before Tom Cleverley was appointed at Watford, he was the youngest manager in the division. So keeping Wednesday up is astonishing. And it's just a shame that he's done this in the same season that Kieran McKenna got Ipswich promoted, because in any other season, he'd easily be walking away with manager of the season. Whatever the case, though, Danny Rule's got a very bright future in management, I'm sure of that. And wherever he goes in Sheffield, people will be rolling out the red carpet for him, Justin. The question is, though, could Danny Rule be back at the Stadium of Light on a weekly basis next season? Because he's been strongly linked with a move to Sunderland. Do you think it'd be a good move, Justin?
I think it would be for Sunderland, because Danny Rule's a very talented coach. And I think it just everything depends on Chancery, because it's a volatile work environment at Sheffield Wednesday, isn't it? You know, Darren Moore got sacked he left Sheffield Wednesday, I should say, on the back of a really significant playoff win that should have developed a lot of momentum, and then the club hired Isco Munoz, who was completely clueless. You know, it's just volatile. It's a strange place to be. So it'll be interesting to see where their expectations lie. It really will. It'll be interesting to see how Chancery, you know, I would be putting my money behind Danny Rule, because he's a man that I would be inspired by. He's got this team, as you said, 8th in the table when it comes to points earned under him against other teams. So for me, I would be being ambitious. So I think that's the key thing. It all depends on Mr. Chancery. I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Rule gets sacked because he said something untoward about, I don't know, the type of coffees at the club, and Chancery takes offence to it. I don't know. It's just weird, a weird environment.
Yeah, it is a very weird environment. But, you know, when you're a young coach who's done as good a job as Danny Rule, you're always going to get the vultures circling. But often when this happens, you could make a decent argument for the manager staying. You know, you've done such a good job at your current club. Why risk it all in a completely new environment? But in this case, I wouldn't blame Danny Rule for jumping at the first opportunity that comes his way. And the sole reason for that is Sheffield Wednesday's beloved owner, Depon Chancery. Because if you can get out of there when your stock's high, then you should do, because there's every chance Chancery will find a way to destroy everything. And that's the sad reality here for Sheffield Wednesday. What they've done this season is completely and utterly astonishing. But heading into the summer and next season, they've got to come to terms with the reality that Depon Chancery is still in charge of the club. And Danny Rule is clearly a very talented coach. Any Championship club who's looking for a new manager this summer, whether that's Sunderland or even a side coming down from the Premier League, should seriously consider Danny Rule, because what he's done is it puts him on the radar for plenty of clubs. I'm pretty sure about that. Mm-hmm. Plymouth safety, that's also been secure after they won 1-0 at home to Hull. A bit of a nervy one. The other results meant to draw would have seen them go down in the end. So they clung on, and then the scenes when the final whistle went were great. And look, I was fearful for them heading into the final day because we both fancied Birmingham to win, didn't we? Mm-hmm. I wasn't as convinced about a Plymouth win, but they've done it and they've stayed up and survived their own mini implosion, Justin.
Yeah, it's been a crazy old season because obviously things were going very well under Stephen Schumacher. So for them to be, you know, they were mid-table when he left for Stoke here around Christmas, and so for them to be where they are now is quite remarkable, really. But goes to show getting the right man in place, as we've seen Huddersfield struggle, Birmingham struggle in doing that. I think Plymouth just made a decision at the right time, and maybe that good work under Stephen Schumacher has actually kept them up. So yeah, they've got a chance to start again, which is. Yeah, almost a fresh start this summer. You know, they're a championship team again next season again, which is really exciting because they're a good attacking side with some really good young players, really good promising young players. So it'd be interesting to see what they come up with. At the same time, it should serve as a warning to the owners to, you know, do a bit more due diligence on who they're hiring, maybe.
I think they did do due diligence, Justin. It's just, you know.
But they came out and said he wasn't the same man they interviewed in and around the training ground.
You can't really do much about that, can you? If you interview the guy and say, this guy seems like the man, and then he turns into a cock behind the scenes, you know, those things happen.
Phone the references then. Everyone has references on their CV.
They reference Steven Gerrard.
Exactly. He's best mates. They're both Scouts, aren't they?
Exactly. He's not going to say anything bad about him,
exactly.
Is he? But I honestly think if Plymouth hadn't have Stephen Schumacher leave and they didn't appoint Ian Foster, they would have finished mid-table this season. Because they were well on course for doing that. And it was just the Foster appointment went nearly as bad as it possibly could have. And the owners admitted they got it wrong. And as we were just alluding to, they said Ian Foster wasn't the same guy around the training ground as the same Ian Foster that they interviewed. So these things do happen. Plymouth are pound for pound one of the best run clubs in the country, but even they can't get every decision right, and ultimately it's not ended up costing them. Now they've got a big decision to make on who their next manager will be, and it's going to be absolutely crucial in deciding where this club goes next. But also they need a transfer window just as good as the one they had last summer, because if this club wants to progress, they have to get it right, and that's why it's a huge summer ahead for Plymouth. But for now, they've stayed up in their first season back in the Championship. Good achievement. They should enjoy it. Just before we go to the polls, Justin, a couple of dead rubber games from the final day, with results which certainly caught the eye, including Rotherham 5, Cardiff 2. Rotherham scored nearly a seventh of their goals for the season in this one game. Where's this come from?
Steve Evans effect. The Steve Evans effect. Incredible. Incredible. I mean, it serves a nice little segue into next season for them, because I wouldn't say this is the potential of that team, but, you know, if you beat your team 5-2 on your final day of the Championship season, Jordan Hugo and Tom Eaves both score, by the way. Both scored braces, by the way. Yeah, it's maybe serves for an exciting time next season.
Yeah, maybe. I won't get too carried away after the season they've just had, because Rotherham have ended the season with 27 points, which is the third lowest points tally in Championship history. In fact, of the four lowest points tallies in Championship history, three of them now belong to Rotherham, which isn't ideal, is it? The other eye-catching result from the final day was Stoke 4, Bristol City 0. Stoke have finished the season with three straight wins. It's the ultimate example of stat padding, because they've actually finished the season 17th now. That means Stoke have now finished between 14th and 17th in the Championship for the last six seasons. Whether that continues next season, we'll have to wait and see. Justin, let's do the polls. This is the part of the show where we give the listeners three questions on Twitter, because we want to get their thoughts on everything to do in the Championship. So the first question we asked was this: is Ipswich's promotion the greatest managerial achievement in Championship history? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because I'm going to go with the masses here, but if I had more time to debate it, I'd probably convince myself that it isn't.
Well, actually, the listeners have gone 52% no, 48% yes. Haven't had anyone actually say what they think the alternative is. Someone suggested Roy Keane getting Sunderland promoted, which after their start to the season was pretty impressive. Steve Cooper at Forest, I suppose, as well. But I mean, the resources, come on.
True.
Different kettle of fish to those two. So I would definitely say yes. Will Ipswich avoid relegation from the Premier League next season? Yes or no?
Ooh, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes. I'm aboard the Ipswich are staying up tractor.
You said the same thing about Burnley last season. I'm just going to throw that one in
there. I did. I didn't expect their recruitment to be so crap and Vincent Kompany to not change their style of play whatsoever, though. So we'll wait and see, I suppose. 66% of people said no, they won't stay up. 34% said they will. And finally, what's the first film you think of with Will Ferrell? Anchorman, Barbie, Elf, Step Brothers.
Barbie?
Yeah, he's in Barbie.
I did not know that.
Have you watched Barbie?
No, I haven't.
Well, of course you won't know then. He's like, I think he's the main bad guy. Or is Ken the bad guy? I don't know. He's one of the bad guys in Barbie. Right, anyway, right. Justin, what would you go for?
I'll go Step Brothers. I've already said that.
48% of people said Elf. What on earth? Do people watch films? 33% said Anchorman. I would say Anchorman. 18% said Step Brothers. 1% said Barbie. So a lot of people just completely forgot who's in Barbie, like you, Justin. Now it's time for this.
Hi, Simon, Grace and Edge.
Yes, it's time for Simon Grayson's Hateful Eight. So Justin's going to ask me to name eight of a certain subject. All I've got to do is name all eight. So, for example, if he would say name Steve Bruce's last eight clubs, I would say Villa, that's one down, Newcastle, another down. But if I were then to say Weymouth, I would lose a life. So all I need to do is give all eight answers without losing all my lives. And you can get involved in the fun by sending in your Hateful Eights for either Justin or I to answer. Send them into secondtierpod@gmail.com and you could get a shout out the next time we do a Hateful Eight. Who's this from, Justin?
This one's from Alex Tuggle, who is a Plymouth fan. I suspect he's a Plymouth fan because he said he signed off the email with "Come on, you Greens." So I can only suspect that is the case.
Maybe he's a vegetables fan.
Yeah, maybe he's a fellow veggie.
Yeah,
come on, you Greens, eat your greens, boys and girls. Let's always remind people of that. And I also think he probably has a sore head today. But Alex wants you to name, or Simon wants you to name, the last eight teams to use goal difference to decide their fate on game day 46. This includes playoffs, promotion and relegation. So all you've got to do is think about the teams who, you know, got snuck into the playoffs or snuck into the top two on the final day or avoided relegation.
This seems bloody hard.
It's tricky. So Simon, good old Simon, is going to give you three lives. But looking at the teams, it's actually a lot easier than you think.
Well, the teams who benefited...
Yeah, so the teams who benefited, not the teams who went down or lost out. So it's the teams who got into where they needed to go.
I'll say Swansea because I know they did, but I don't know if it was that recent.
Nope, Swansea's second on my list. That was a 2019-2020 season.
They're obviously only second?
Hasn't happened often, but there's been, I'll give you a clue, there's been seven occasions where it's happened since 2010.
Oh my God.
Swansea is second on my list.
Bloody hell. This seems really hard. But I know Swansea definitely did it, but I'm struggling for many other answers. I recall it being very tight in the promotion race in that same season as Swansea. So I'm going to say West Brom.
Incorrect.
This is just a shot in the dark. I'll say Birmingham City because they've avoided relegation on a few occasions.
You are correct. Birmingham are on there. I think it was that Paul Caddis goal, the 2013-2014 season.
Of course, yeah.
So they beat Bolton. This is what I mean. All you've got to think about is teams benefiting on the final day of the season. Don't worry about the goal difference. It's just teams benefiting on the final day of the season.
But I don't have any inkling behind it, so I'm just guessing. I'm just throwing teams at you. Who else is there? I'll say Derby, because I know Derby stayed up by the skin of their teeth in the COVID season, but I don't know if that was goal difference or not.
It wasn't goal difference, so you'd be incorrect. You've lost two lives.
Okay. I mean, Derby were a good shout because the number of times they've been involved in playoffs and what have you as well. But I don't really know, to be honest. I'll throw, if it's since 2010, then Norwich, maybe?
You're incorrect. You've lost all of it. You've fallen foul.
This was a hard question.
It is a hard question, but all you've got to think about is teams have benefited than the final day of the season.
Well, that's a lot easier said than done because I can't remember which ones were from goal difference and which weren't. So just give me the answers, please.
Fine. Sunderland are the most recent one. Last season, They got into the playoffs on goal difference. They finished ahead of Blackburn, who had -2, Sunderland had +13. Nottingham Forest are next in the 16-17 season. I think they beat Ipswich 3-0 on the final day. They finished 21st ahead of Blackburn, who went down. Then it's Middlesbrough, who snuck into second place ahead of Brighton in the 15-16 season. The season before that, it was Ipswich, who finished ahead of Wolves in the playoffs. Then obviously Birmingham. And it's Leicester in the 2012-2013 season. They snuck ahead of Bolton. Obviously Leicester, that big semi-final against Watford, that was that season. Speaking of Watford, their next 07-08, they snuck ahead of Wolves in seventh. And obviously Watford went on to lose that place under Eddie Boothroyd. And then that's your lot, that's all eight.
I was never going to get them. It's just literally just throwing a dart at a dartboard and just naming teams.
It's all about being a championship expert. And sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, well, how did your Ipswich prediction go, mate?
Doesn't matter. I'd have got that.
Would you?
Yeah, 100%.
What about your Ipswich prediction for the season?
About Luton the season before third. That.
What about our predictions in the
Here we go. He's upset. So he goes on the attack. There we go. He's back.
All I'm saying is I've got the proof in the pudding with the bigger extra encounter.
Sure.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the normal championship season. A remarkable season as well, but it's not over yet because it's playoff time, baby. But before that, we have the most important part of the season. It's the second tier award. So as we said at the top of the show, we'll have our second tier team of the season being revealed on Wednesday, and then we'll do the individual awards on Thursday. And then after that, we've got our preview show looking ahead to the first leg of the playoff semi-finals, which is coming up on Sunday, but then we'll be doing the preview show on the Friday, looking ahead to that. So we look forward to seeing you then. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.